Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis here, as always, with Sarah Powers. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
We are doing our third holiday special. These are special episodes that are coming out every Friday. Is it every Friday?
Yeah, four Fridays in a row. What did we do to ourselves?
Four Fridays in a row. I was going to say every Friday in December, but that's not right.
Yeah, we started in November.
I don't even know what month it is. What's happening? Okay, so today we're going to talk about loving the holidays, or at least getting through the holidays as a divorced or separated mom or a blended family. And I think this is obviously a topic near and dear to my heart. This will be my third holiday season since separating from my now ex-husband. And so I've learned a lot. And I grew up in blended families and divorced families. So my mom and dad obviously divorced, and then my dad remarried and had stepkids on that side, and my mom did not. So, well, she did, but blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I didn't have any step siblings on that side, but I've experienced it all. Sarah, I know you have in-laws who are blended families. So even if you're a married mom, there's still probably someplace in your life there is some blended family connection or some divorced situation.
Definitely. And yeah, my husband grew up with divorced parents and his dad remarried. So my kids have multiple sets of grandparents, and we'll get into that. But also, I think for everybody, it's kind of helpful to think about the holidays and how they look different for different kinds of families. So I'm looking forward to this. And I also think, you know, last year you probably wouldn't have been ready to do this episode. You were more in the middle of it. And not that you've figured it all out, but you've had a little bit of experience now, because we've had people ask to do this topic. And I think your initial reaction was like, I don't know yet. You know,
I was too close to it and I was still figuring it out. And I haven't figured it all out, but I've figured some stuff out.
So. We got some great input from a few other wise voices as well for this. Yeah. So, okay, before we launch in, let's talk about our first sponsor, Canvas People. So, Megan, we are now officially into December, so the shopping is getting real. I'm actually a little behind this year, which is unlike me.
Okay, so you're behind probably looks like my way ahead. But I'm actually pretty on top of things this year. So I don't know, maybe we're doing a little switcheroo.
We are. We're rubbing off on each other. Well, thank goodness for our sponsor, Canvas People, because what the deal we're going to give you can really bail you out if you are stumped on a great gift idea. And this could work for anybody. So Canvas People prints your favorite photos on Canvas and turns them into really unique works of art that add a beautiful touch to your home or anyone's home.
Yeah, and we're going to offer you guys an amazing deal on a piece of Canvas People art today. And apropos to today's episode, I'm going to use my offer to get my ex, John, a print of all the kids together, because I know now that like the kids are going back and forth a lot. The older ones have their own lives. It's harder than ever to get them all in one place. And also, like, I don't mean to be sexist, but he's a dude. I just don't think he thinks about decorating his place the same way I think about decorating mine.
Right.
So I'm kind of planning to stage a really good shot this weekend and then have it made into a photo for his gift. I think he'll like having it in his place, but I also think the kids will like seeing it there, which is important too.
I love that idea. That is so great. So here's your special limited time holiday offer, guys. CanvasPeople.com is offering their 11 by 14 photo canvas for free. For free.
It's amazing.
So they normally sell for $69.99, but right now you'll pay nothing. You just cover shipping and handling. So to get the free canvas, you're going to text Mom Hour to 484848. And again, you'll cover shipping and handling. The canvas will be totally free, but this offer is not going to last. You're going to text Mom Hour to 484848. Message and data rates may apply.
All right. Shall we dive in?
Yeah. And I think I'm going to act as interviewer, right?
I came up with some questions. We had some great Instagram questions. We have some fellow podcasters who called in and left some tips. But I want to divide this into practical and emotional. Now, here's the tricky part. They all bleed into everything else.
Sure.
Like,
the practical
really,
is emotional.
The practical is emotional. Like, you get really emotional over sometimes really practical stuff. But I tried to kind of make the first half of the show more about the practical aspects of getting through the holiday. And then the emotional issues will hit in the second half.
Yeah.
So I've got my tea ready and I'll be sitting here doing some deep breathing.
You are the expert, at least in this situation. I mean, I really like the way we're doing this. So the first question is just real functional. Like, how do you decide and who gets to decide where the kids will go? And the holidays are so, it's not just like the whole vacation. It's like Christmas right. Eve morning, Christmas Eve night, Christmas Day, all of that. Who decides that?
Yeah. So this is something that really surprised me going through a divorce. In Michigan, we have what's called the friend of the court, and you don't have to opt into the friend of the court. You can have your lawyer, you know, you and your lawyers can work it all out, but they kind of come up with, I think what the courts have decided is sort of like the de facto schedule.
Okay.
If you don't come up with your own.
Okay.
And it's kind of, I thought it was sort of lame. Like, it's just so specific. Like, I don't know who's going to spend Columbus Day 2020 with my kids. And it's that specific, but also really not very specific. Like, I don't know. It doesn't, to me, take into account real families and the fact that things change and some things are important to some people and some things are less important to other people. And I think it's one of those things that's made for people who absolutely cannot communicate with each other and uh-huh. without having a plan handed to them will not be able to figure this out.
Right.
Now the funny thing is this could be in a court order. So John and I didn't end up using the friend of the court schedule. We made up our own, but it's pretty vague. And really the only reason it would ever, like, there's a court order who's supposed to spend what days. I have no idea what the court order says because really you get to make it up yourself.
Okay.
And then the only time that would be an issue is if we couldn't agree, or one of us refused to honor
right.
the other person. Then we'd have to go back to court
now,
and figure it out.
When you guys have done this and you have, I think, worked well together, it sounds like, are you looking at an entire year at a time? Are you looking like, you know, okay, now it's September, we should probably talk about the winter holidays, or like, is it an ongoing discussion?
So for, so like the way the court order is written, it's forever. So
oh.
it tries, yeah. So it's forever.
And wow.
You would have to go back and change that. Now that might mean alternating. That's a pretty common one.
Okay.
Like I'll get Christmas, then you get Christmas, then I get Christmas. That's probably the most common that I've seen is just alternating.
Okay.
And what we've done, because we knew that neither one of us, when we separated, were ready to be apart from our kids for an entire holiday.
Like, yeah.
We just couldn't see it happening. And we were getting along well enough that we didn't feel like we had to. So the way we did it was that we decided, and I'm just going to leave all the other holidays that aren't Thanksgiving and Christmas, like anything that's not happening right this
yeah.
time of year, I'm kind of leaving out yeah. of this discussion because those to us have always been a little more minor and we just kind of work them out as we go. But the way we've done it is that Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. So for the past two holidays, we've done those together. With the kids.
Like both of you together with the
both
kids.
Both of us
like
together
with the
kids.
The old nuclear family. Yeah.
Yep. Like the old nuclear family. And then Christmas Day, definitely last year, but I want to say the year before that too, John has had the kids. And then we've done Thanksgiving, at least like a 2-hour block together. So we'd like a dinner mm-hmm. or something. Then typically he's kept the kids for the rest of Thanksgiving. And then I've taken them on the weekends to go to my sister's house because that's what we always do. And that's,
right.
you know, so we've kind of worked, that's kind of how we worked it out. Then he gets the kids for a block of time right leading up to New Year's Eve. And I've had them on New Year's Eve because that's when my family comes into
yeah.
town to do like our kind of extended family Christmas.
Yeah.
However, all that to say, it's worked. I do think that it will change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's probably right now I'm probably getting a little more disproportionately holiday days. Like
mm-hmm.
I think because the fact that I had Thanksgiving. Well, no, that's actually not true because John had Thanksgiving last year. So I think it's actually worked out pretty well. I get New Year's, but so far it just hasn't been a big deal. But things are going to change. I guess that's my point.
Yeah.
It's like, and we'll get into that, like the feels around the changing
yeah.
later. But I think that one reason we kept it kind of purposely vague is we didn't want to feel locked in.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we start talking about probably in September,
mm-hmm.
But kind of knew that we wouldn't change it too much this year.
Yeah.
And that if we felt we needed to change it a lot, we'll probably have that conversation after the holiday this year to say like, how did that go?
Yeah.
What might we change next year? So we can all be prepared because nobody wants to be gobsmacked or
right.
like blindsided with,
right.
hey, this year I actually want the kids Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and blah, blah, blah. I mean, like the way we have things right now, I don't see that happening.
Right.
But like either way, I think that's something we talk about year round.
Yeah. And if either of you guys end up like pretty seriously partnered up, that would
yeah.
look different, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
yep.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about traditions. So I know last year we did an episode where you were in the middle of these evolving transitions, and it's a great episode. It's that two-parter we did on routines, rituals, and traditions. But the part one is a lot about you navigating new traditions post-divorce. So now that we're a whole year ahead, like, can you pinpoint some things that you held on to of kind of the old traditions and routines and versus things that you've just had to let go of?
Yeah. You know, I think everything Christmas Eve and Christmas Day from the outside looking in looked the same last year and the year before, the same as it always had. Except for the fact that after Christmas, after the presents were opened and we ate, you know, breakfast or whatever last year, my sister was in the hospital. I went up and visited her in the hospital. And honestly, the year before that, I don't remember what I did on Christmas Day, but I don't feel like I was with the kids on the whole of Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. I feel like they went someplace or something. I really don't remember. So I don't know that that was entirely healthy for me, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was great for the kids. I'm glad we did it. I don't regret it at all. I think it's time this year to start doing some kind of gentle changes, but not so far as I don't want to still do Christmas fashion and Christmas morning together in some fashion. I just think it needs to feel a little less way it used to be ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you can't do that forever.
Well,
right?
And you guys were doing that for the kids and for the sameness. And I agree. It's, you can give yourself permission probably now to start evolving a little bit.
And on the other hand, I'm really attached to having the kids in my house on Christmas Eve. So like it's, so there's going to have to be a little bit of a, there's going to have to be a little bit of a bend here someplace. And I haven't figured out quite where it is yet. As of now, we're still planning on doing Christmas Eve at my place, Christmas morning at my place, and then John has the kids the rest of the day to take and do whatever he would like, and then he'll have them for the next couple days after that as well. I don't know how Christmas Eve is going to look. Like, it could end up being more neutral. We might go out to dinner. I guess my point is, like, things can and will change, but the change doesn't always have to come so suddenly. I know that, like, when I've one of the big questions that we had when we were kind of deciding to separate is, like, it was only a few months till the holidays. Like, oh my gosh, what are the holidays going to look like? And like, could either one of us bear to not be with our kids on Christmas? Like, no, that's a big deal for us. But like, it didn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have time. You have, as long as you and your ex can still discuss things and talk and be in the same room together, you have time to figure that out. It doesn't have to all change overnight. And I think sometimes it's easy to get into kind of like very black or white thinking or extreme, like to take something to the most extreme.
And
like, don't stay together for the holidays. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what's keeping you from making a move, that a change that needs to happen, there are ways to get around that.
Well, and it's kind of like what we talk about with traditions for all families, which is like, you have this idea, you've got to establish them and stick to them no matter what, because that's what traditions are. But we know that traditions kind of evolve. That's the nature of them. Yeah.
And in a recent episode, I can't remember if it was just last week's episode, but I talked about how, you know, traditions change regardless.
Right. Like, yes. No, I think it was when we were talking about our December intentions. So a week ago.
Yes. And I was talking about some of the things that I'm kind of slowly changing and things that I want to do this year. Like, I'm just getting into things, like really wanting to have kind of an extravaganza holiday this year. Just try a bunch of new stuff. Like, I've never taken my kids to like a local, like high school choir concert, like holiday concert. And I don't know why, just never did. Like, something I've always thought about doing, but I haven't done. And I just, this year, I kind of want to cram it all in and just see what we like.
Yeah.
And so that we can just decide like what that's going to look like.
I love that.
Another thing, like, so, but here's something that's not changing. So John has always been the one since forever that has taken the boys, not all the boys, but William has always been like his tree buddy. And he's always the one, like good old reliable William. He's always the one who manages to change the tree water and all that stuff. And he did that still like the first year when he was still living in the house, because we kept the same house together for like a year. So, you know, we kept the traditions very much the same. John took the kids to get the tree. Then last year he had moved out of the house, but we were still in the same house. So he again went and got the tree. Mm-hmm. And then this year I said, do you want me to handle getting my own tree, or do you want to do it? Like, I don't want to expect that he's going to do that for me in my new house that has nothing to do with him. But like, he doesn't get a tree for his house. He doesn't do a real tree. He's highly allergic. And that was always something that was important to me. And he's like, no, I'll do it. Like, he likes to do it. It's something he's always done. And I think for him, he enjoys that. And I don't care.
And he's still getting the tree for his kids. You know, like, there's so many like overlaps and like who is this for? You know, he's still getting to do that with his kids. So it's not like he's just,
he's not your tree monkey. Yeah. He's not my tree monkey. And I could figure it out if I had to, I could do it, but I have no attachment to going to pick the tree out. I do have attachment to decorating the tree. Yes. So he doesn't have to hang around for that. Yeah. Like, it's just a different thing that like he can still do. And I did ask him and I was kind of happy and relieved that he said he wanted to, because it's one less thing I have to worry about changing. But I know I could have and I would have and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, I guess it's kind of an amalgam right now between things that are the same and things that are changing. And who knows next year what might happen. He might decide he wants to get his own tree and do that at his own house. And that's fine, too. Like, things will continue to change.
Totally. Well, so on that note, let's talk about like getting a tree, for example, requires that you pick a day that you're going to get the tree, that he's available, that yours is available. So how do you like these logistics, how much communication and planning, and how does that work since there's two houses and you've got multiple adult children? And
we probably check in about our calendar once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually via, we use Google Hangouts. We usually check in via Google Hangouts. We just talk about it. We'll take a look, like, especially around the holidays, like right now, everything is such a like moving target that we're probably like, I'll check and be like, I'm sorry, I know we discussed this date, but can you just confirm for me that we switched this week for that week, or that you're going to do this and that? And so we just had the discussion about the tree like last week, and we just decided, you know, he threw out a couple dates that would work. It happened to be a date that he was going to be picking the kids up, like our transition day, which is Wednesday and Sunday, or Wednesday and Saturday, depending on the week. And so we picked a Wednesday. Okay. We're just going to do it then. And we're going to, this is the first year that I'm going to pull out the decorations and like divvy them up, which I'm actually like I've just kind of been the keeper of the decorations because he didn't really care. But I said, you know, maybe it's time for you to take a box of decorations that are, you know, for you. But I'm looking forward to, because now there's going to be room on my tree again so I can get some new stuff. I haven't bought any new stuff in years.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited to like let him take some of the kids' handmade stuff and all that. And
I love it.
We just keep, we live inside our calendars and we all do. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like we really live inside of it and we communicate about it a lot. And then I have a calendar on the fridge. That's just a week at a glance calendar. It's a dry erase. And that's where I keep our weekly schedule. And I just put mom's, dad's, dad's. So the kids can look at it and know where they are. When I'm thinking it might be a good idea to have something temporary just for the holiday though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, especially as things get closer and like the kids always like, some of them, especially like Owen really needs to know exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think all kids like to know, but
some
like,
more than
he
others
needs to know. And he really wants to know, like, when am I going to see Quinn, his cousin who lives in a couple hours away? When are we going to be here? When are they coming? Mm-hmm. You know, when are we going there? When are they coming here? I think it could even just be a written list of dates. I don't think it needs to be another calendar I buy, but I just think the more I can remind them, myself, and then the more John and I communicate, the better, and the less possibility that one, that something will slip and we'll end up mad at each other.
Which I mean, I have to say that even in a married family, there's a lot of calendar aligning during the holidays. Yeah. Like, you know, did you remember there's this thing at school on this night? And it's a lot.
Yeah.
So I know this isn't an issue for you guys yet, but it is for a lot of our listeners, and that is blending families during the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about, so right now that's not a thing for us. Mm-hmm. We both have significant others. Neither of them have kids, which is helpful.
Yeah.
So things are likely to change, you know, like not this year, but next probably, if things continue the way they are right now. I will say for myself, I grew up in a family with steps and our holidays, I always remember feeling like my mom's holiday was very grounding. The way she did holidays was very grounding because we didn't have any steps on that side and it was always the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like my dad always kind of went along with who he was remarried twice. And I think he kind of let his wife take the lead on holiday stuff. And I'm not complaining about that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think for me, those holidays were very forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
Like my dad's side of the holiday was forgettable and my mom's side wasn't. And I was thinking about why that was exactly. And I think it's because it didn't feel like mine
as you were like in somebody else's holiday.
I was in somebody else's holiday. And I don't know what the solution is for that. And it's actually something I think, I feel like being a stepmom would be such a difficult position to be in. And like, can you, like, how would you get it right? You know, like, that's so hard. And I don't know that they could have done anything differently. And I don't, I'm not even complaining. I wasn't sad about it. It didn't bum me out. I still had fun at Christmas. But I do wonder if there was, if that's just how it has to be, or if that's, you know, when if it comes to the point where I'm blending a family. Like, how can I be thoughtful about that so mm-hmm. that it doesn't feel like their Christmas is becoming cannibalized mm-hmm. by another family's Christmas. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's just no getting around it in some cases. I don't know.
Yeah.
We do have a comment from Shannon on Instagram. I think she has some good advice. And she says, we have a blended family with a 13 year span between my husband's daughter, who's 16, and our daughters together, ages 3 and 1. I'm still navigating this journey. And I think if I could sit down and have a chat with the me of 10 years ago, I would tell her to be flexible with all the other family scheduling. The child already has enough houses to visit and people to see. Try not to burden them, the child, with more have-tos. Carry on with your traditions, include them in the things you love and grew up with, and they may just see the holidays from a new perspective and even you in a new light. I think that's really
good
advice, not to just cram a whole bunch of new stuff for the stepchild, the existing kid to do, but to let them see how you do things and invite them in and, you know, maybe make them part of things that were always like your thing.
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think that another thing, if I had to go back to my, and let me just be clear, my parents are both dead now, so I can say this. I don't think that holidays are the time for you to dig on like your rights or to try to, and I'm putting rights in quotation marks, or to try to like draw that firm line with your ex about them screwing up schedules or how many days you get with mm-hmm. who. Like, that's just not what this time of year is about. And kids will pick up on it. And I don't know, you have to suck it up sometimes. Sometimes you have to suck it up really hard. But like, if you keep the goal in mind that this time is about like peace and goodwill and magic, and it's really for your kids more than it is for you, you can kind of let go of some of that. And I know it's so tempting to like get mad and bitter and irritated and resentful about, especially if you are carrying around like baggage from when you were married or partnered with somebody about things that drove you crazy during the holidays. And now it's like, you still have to deal with that crap, even though you're not with that person anymore.
Right.
But it's almost magnified because now it's also taking away from your experience with your own kids. I know how maddening that can be, but like, I just don't think it's the time to draw that line and to like, to be right. I just don't think it's the time to get on your defensive and go in for the fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
no, I think that's great.
We do have some tips from Liz and Kristen at Cool Mom Picks, and also the Spawned podcast, the podcast Spawned with Kristen and Liz. They're actually two best friends. And it turns out both are separated or divorced moms, which they were both married or partnered when they started their Cool Mom Picks together. And since then have both become either separated or divorced. So Kristen's remarried now and Liz has a significant other with kids. So they're both kind of experiencing that blended family life. And we're going to hear from Kristen in part two, but I wanted you to listen to Liz's tip because I think she's got some really solid advice.
Hi, it's Liz Gumbiner from Cool Mom Picks and Spawned with Kristen and Liz. On our podcast, Kristen and I often talk about the realities of the season and how there's so much pressure to be perfect. Like, you look at Instagram and people talk about winning the holidays, like it's something to be won. And I think we just have to let go of that and do the best we can, especially when you're divorced or recoupled, or when you're even when you're blending families for the first time. I mean, that's really exciting, but there's a lot of pressure to make it like the best, most perfect, most awesome holiday ever. And I think you just have to let go of that. It's not going to happen. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be feelings you didn't know you had. There's going to be feelings the kids didn't know they had. And I think the best thing you can do is just keep really open channels of communication with your partner. Make sure you're discussing everything, that you're working out all that stuff in advance. Like, when do you open the gifts? What kind of dinner do you have? Do you dress up? Do you wear pajamas? Does Santa come? There's like really big things you have to work out. And I think that'll help. If I can give one tip though, one big tip, make sure that you sign all of the gifts from both of you. All gifts come from all parents. Best thing you can do. Hope that helps. Happy holidays.
Yeah, that is a really good tip. I loved hearing from Liz. And that is a great segue into my next question, which is, how do you guys handle the gift giving?
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with Liz there. When you can actually pull off having all gifts come from all parents, so far, that's how we've done it. I know for some families that just wouldn't work for a variety of reasons. If your ex is unreasonable, if your ex is out of the picture, if your ex like isn't going to show up at any time during the holidays, and like, what's the point of putting their name on a gift, or like your kids would know that's baloney. I mean, I do think that there sometimes it doesn't work, and I'm not sure we'll stick to it forever either, But for right now, gift giving is like very much a team effort for us. Mm-hmm. So the way we do it, we have a Google Sheet just called Kids Christmas. We have it split up into it's okay. So I'll just like read off the categories. We've got the kids down the left, their names. And then the first column is ideas. The second column is Christmas Eve, because we always give them something Christmas Eve. And then big gift is a column. Filler, and stocking.
I love it.
And we just go through, we put all the ideas. So right now it's mostly ideas, but as we buy things, we move it from ideas into one of the other categories. And typically the way it's kind of shaken out, we also both really like buying gifts and we both love giving gifts. And so there just didn't seem, and because we don't buy our kids a lot of gifts and we didn't want to go down the route of doubling their gifts or buying too much stuff just because we're not together anymore. It just made sense for us to go into it together this way. So we will, I usually do the stocking shopping. John does the deal seeking. So anything that's like an electronic or something, he's already got like a whole bunch of stuff that he's been keeping an eye out for deals. I'm terrible at keeping an eye out for deals and I don't care about that. So he's kind of handling a lot of the big gifts and I'll handle like the Christmas Eve gifts and the filler. And then we kind of do a rough tally at the end. And if one of us is way off money wise, we'll even the score then. So that works. And everything, does come. That's not to say like we haven't ever given a gift that's just from one or the other of us, like on birthdays or whatever. And I'm even thinking like in the future, if we did a separate holiday with a significant other, which that might be happening this year, I don't really know. I'm sure there's some gifts that are being given just from one or the other. And I think that's fine. But I would never want there to be a situation where it's Christmas morning and there's a bunch of gifts under the tree and they're all from me or all from him. It just, to me, that doesn't feel right. And I don't think that's how we would do things.
Yeah. So and that's not opportunities for the kids to start keeping score or feeling
It just, it just doesn't feel good. So that's how it works for us.
I love that. Well, let's take a quick break and then we're going to get into the emotional stuff, right?
Oh boy.
After that. You ready?
I don't know, maybe.
Let's make ourselves feel better with a little FabFitFun.
FabFitFun is my retail therapy right now, right? So our sponsor, FabFitFun, is a seasonal subscription box that offers full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. What's awesome about FabFitFun is while it only retails for $49.99, the box always has a value over $200. And we're both in agreement. It's usually well over $200.
Oh,
And I think that the stuff in there is, what I love about it is it's great stuff, like quality brands that I probably would never think to buy for myself.
It's even things you wouldn't even know that you
Know they exist.
Like educates me on how to take care of myself, basically.
Exactly. The winter box is available right now. I love there's in there. There was the Ahava hydration cream mask and the Moroccan Gold series treatment mask for hair. So I've been using those like once a week at the same time while I'm lounging in the bath. You know how I am about baths, right? And it's like, the temps are dropping and this is the time of year where my skin starts, I get these like little dry patches on my forehead and my cheeks and my hair starts to look all kind of frizzed out and stuff. So I've been doing this once a week while I'm in the bath anyway. And it's just this nice little treat. And I never would have thought to buy myself hair mask. I just wouldn't.
Yeah. I need to try that one. I love the cream mask. You can put it on. You can actually sleep in it if you want, or you can wash it off. And I loved that. But I haven't tried the hair mask yet. And now you're motivating me. I really want to.
And there's
to.
Also those black eye.
Yes. The under eye
masks. Mm-hmm. They're so cool. They feel like little, I don't know, like little globs of, I don't know. They feel like some kind of creature, underwater creature or something, but they feel nice on. So sometimes I just have like, you know, mom spa night. It's great.
I love it.
So FabFitFun is a great gift too. And honestly, getting it four times a year kind of feels like an unexpected treat every time, like Christmas year round. So it's a great gift. So use the coupon code THEMOMHOUR for $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com. Again, that coupon code is THEMOMHOUR and you're going to get $10 off your first box.
Love it. Well, I am bringing you guys a brand new sponsor I'm super excited about. It's Riley Home and their new kids line, Riley Jr. So if you guys aren't familiar, Riley is kind of the go-to brand for luxury bath and bed linens. They're known for having the best prices on really, really high quality sheets. Most of their products are coming out of family-owned textile mills in Europe, and there's just like an amazing commitment to craftsmanship from start to finish throughout the process. So Riley recently launched Riley Jr., which is those same high quality bedding products, but for babies and kids. Riley Jr.'s bedding bedding collection includes duvet covers for your kids' twin beds in super cute patterns. There's one I love called Silly Animals, because a toddler going to bed in their first big kid bed would have so much fun with these cute little animals, but it doesn't like scream kid sheets. You know what I mean? Like, it's not cheesy. Yeah. It's got this really sophisticated kind of modern look. But if you look close, the little animals are so cute. I could see a kid having so much fun with those. They also have crib sheets and baby blankets, decorative pillows, and they do monogramming on some of their designs, which is a really fun touch for like a new baby gift or to personalize your child's bedroom. So the Riley Jr. collection is priced ranging from $19 to $179, and it's available exclusively on RileyHome.com. They're going to be adding more prints and colors and patterns too over time as this collection grows. And it was really fun getting to browse that collection. So we have a great deal for you guys to save 25% off your order. And these are already really affordably priced items. You're going to go to RileyHome.com, check out their collection, and use the promo code TheMomHour to save 25% off your order. Again, it's RileyHome.com, and the promo code is TheMomHour to save 25%.
You know, I just want to quickly mention that I am like a huge bedding fan. Mm-hmm. I'm really fanatical about nice bedding. And I remember from being a kid, I very, very clearly remember like all of my bedding from like the age of 3 on.
Yes.
I remember laying in bed at night and looking at the patterns on my sheets.
Yes. So, I know. And several of the twin beds in my house, we have a set of bunk beds and another twin, and have not really gotten new sheets for those in quite a while. So it's really cute stuff.
Nice opportunity.
Yeah. All right. So we're going kind of into past logistics and into kind of the messier part of all this. So
The feels.
And one of the big feels is guilt and mom guilt, which all moms are subject to. But in particular with kind of divorced moms, single moms, the holidays and guilt go hand in hand. So how has that played out for you?
Yeah. So our first Christmas separated, I know we went overboard. We acknowledged it like.
Meaning with the gifts, like you spoiled. Yeah.
We did the parent guilt, the divorce parent guilt Christmas. And some of it was guilt. Some of it honestly was that we weren't communicating very well about gifts and stuff yet. So we were both just buying a bunch of crap.
You didn't have your spreadsheet ready.
We didn't have our spreadsheet yet. Yeah. So we went back and realized how much overboard we'd gone, but we just didn't have the heart to return anything. Yeah. It was just, And I think that could be part of the process. Like, we've talked about this before. It's one thing to not set a precedent of going way overboard, but if you like the one Christmas when everyone's feeling kind of rotten anyway, I think it's okay. Yep. Just allow yourself, give yourself some grace and allow yourself for that to be part of the process if it is. And this is our third Christmas separated. I think we've gotten back to a normal plan. In fact, I think this year we both have financial goals that we're working on right now. And I think we've decided to even kind of go a little more Spartan than we usually would. Not to a point the kids would necessarily notice. I think we're just going to be careful just mindful and careful. Like, I have a tendency to go overboard on stocking stuffers that like the kids really don't care about and like stuff like that. Like the little stuff. I think that we're just going to try to like kind of keep it under control this year. You know, the guilt was pretty bad the first year, but it gets better. And as a side note, in general, I'm finding that the 2-year mark has felt like a turning point of sorts in many ways. Like, emotionally, for sure. But just like a lot of things are kind of starting to work themselves out. And the funny thing is, I had heard that all along. Like, people kept saying 2 years and 2 years, your life is going to feel totally different. 2 years, you're going to feel like yourself again. Like, I had heard all that, but I was kind of hopeful like I'd be the outlier who would be like, oh, I got all my crap together in 6 months. And I don't know. Maybe this is just one of those things that's just true.
Yeah.
More or less universally. I know it's going to take some people longer and some people probably do get it together sooner. But for me, there was like a marked, like when I hit like September, the 2 year September mark, it was kind of like, I'm like alive again. Like, it's really, it takes time. Mm-hmm. I know that's such a cliche, but it does. And it'll take time to get your holidays back on track too. Like, it's going to take time to just figure this all out. And some guilt is normal. I would say if you're feeling really guilty about what you can't do for your kids, or give your kids because of financial constraints or like lifestyle changes, or maybe because you're just not physically with them as much. I don't know. I remember some of my poorest Christmases growing up after my parents divorced. They both took a financial hit. And some of those were like the most magical and fun. Like, in particular, I remember this year we went out in the woods and cut down a tree. I think I was 8. I don't know if we were that broke or if my mom just was putting on her adventure mom boots or whatever. But I remember it like an adventure. Like, I remember that. And I remember putting the tree up and putting like tons of tinsel on it because it was this like total Charlie Brown tree and had to be filled out. I remember it was terrible cutting it down. It took like way longer than we thought. I think we had a friend from church there, like, but my mom is swinging an axe. She doesn't know how to cut a tree down. Like, we had to go home and drink like a gallon of hot cocoa because we were frozen. So, but those are, those stand out to me as like really positive memories. And also like those kind of resilient stories that you know, you like to think about. And so much about of parenting and family life, we've talked about this, is like telling that story. Like, what is your family's story?
Yeah.
And so much of your kids' experience of the holiday and their memories of the holidays is going to come from this, the tone you set and the story you tell. So it might take some creativity. If you don't have money, it's going to take creativity. Mm-hmm. If you don't have time, it might take money and creativity. Like, whatever it is, like you might have only one of the three things or four things you need. So whatever resource you have, like, lean on that and it's going to be okay. Like, I know it's so cliche, but like, kids really are resilient.
They are.
They really are going to be okay. And they're still going to have great memories and they're still going to have fun. And if the guilt is like getting so bad, you're not enjoying the holiday, like maybe talk to a divorced or single friend or, you know, a therapist, if that's something that you can handle or something like that. Because I just think that like this experience is so universal. And we all tend to blow things up when it's our experience. But then when you take the meta view and the big picture, you realize like this is like part of the, this is like part of the collective consciousness.
It
like,
is.
This is something everyone has. Some has been touched by in some way.
Yeah. And if you think about like the adult that you're hoping to raise, in theory, and I don't know everyone's situation, but in theory, the divorce is hopefully going to build a better, more stable life for these kids because the marriage wasn't providing that. Right. Like, and ideally, this is ultimately working toward happier
mom. This is all
part
of that. Right.
Right. So like, if you think about the adults that you're hoping to raise, this holiday or this season of life, however hard, is part of what's getting them through to this place that you really think is a better place. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, totally.
It's a really crappy part of something that is moving in a direction that is, in a lot of cases, a better direction.
A better direction. And also, I think it's a real opportunity for you to look and say, what is really important to me? And maybe you've been doing, maybe you've been going along with things that you don't even want to do at the holiday. Maybe you've been like letting someone else or a bad dynamic kind of color and flavor how your holiday feels. And like, now you have the control. You're in the driver's seat. And there's like a lot that could be fun.
That took a while for you, right? Like, to kind of embrace that. Like,
yeah, it did. Yeah. I mean, but it just, and it's still a work in progress because I tend to cling a little bit sometimes. But it's like, you can look at this and go, I'm strong enough to do this on my own if I have to, or I don't have as much money as I did. How creative can I be? How resourceful can I be? Like, how can I pull this off? And I think you can get a lot of pride out of that. And like a lot of, there's just a lot of satisfaction to be had in like overcoming an obstacle.
Yes, agreed.
And having a great result on the other end. And I think if you approach it that way, rather than focusing on what you can't do or what used to be a certain way and isn't anymore, then you're just going to feel better about it. And that's not a panacea. It doesn't solve everything, but it helps.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of hard feelings, let's talk about sadness because it's not, you can't get through this without feeling sad.
Yeah.
So how has that played out for you?
Well, I've been talking about change and embracing it and all that, but like, I find myself getting weepy over really not silly things. Like, I will find myself so flexible and so able to give up anything almost like, oh, I can do that. You want this weekend? That's fine. You can have it. Or like, I can't do this anymore. But like the like little things. So like, for example, the kids possibly not spending Christmas Eve under my roof makes me want to bawl. Like, I just can't even think about it. Now, why? Is that because I'm deciding that that is the thing? I think for me, it's because that was always the part that felt the most momish. That's always the part where I would be like up late. Like, you know, you had to kind of wait. Sometimes I'd fall asleep and get back up.
Yeah.
And go out and set everything up and like all that kind of stuff. And it hasn't happened yet, but it's likely at some point it will. And just like we talked about, at some point, I'm going to go to bed on Christmas Eve and there's not going to be a kid under my roof, regardless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether I was divorced or not, at some point. Yeah. Unless none of my kids ever move out, I will not have the same Christmas Eve I had when they were 12, you know, 10, what, ages 6, 4, and a baby. Like those, it's all going to change anyway. And so this is an opportunity for me to kind of like start transitioning now. But I don't know, like one thing I'm trying to do is just not dig my heels in so hard over things that don't matter to me. So for example, like giving up Christmas Day isn't really that big of a deal to me. It's kind of funny. I've always been like super into Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. And then half the time I go to my room and take a nap after, because I'm like exhausted, like all the lead up and then it's kind of over. So like, it wasn't a big deal for me to be like, yeah, you can have Christmas Day. John can have Christmas Day into eternity for all I care. Usually like this year, I usually do the weekend after Thanksgiving with my family at my sister's house. But this year he wanted to take the boys to a concert. So I wound up taking my, going to my sister's a day earlier than usual. And then we cut the visit a little bit short to accommodate, you know, his plans. I wasn't thrilled about it, honestly, but in the end, I really didn't care that much. And I kind of thought, well, a little goodwill might go a long way. And me continuing to get to do the stuff that I really want to do, that's really important to me. And I know like sometimes that's not the case, but I really think unless like your ex is like a sociopath or if your relationship is really, really toxic, showing some flexibility and goodwill makes it that much more likely the other person will do the same.
Right.
And so while I know I'm going to have to give some stuff up at some point, I'm hopeful that we'll just continue to be generous when we can.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, that makes sense. Have you had to actually be alone then on the holidays yet?
No, not alone.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I know that like last year on Thanksgiving, I only went to his house for a couple of hours and then I left.
Okay.
And I was fine with that. That was totally fine with me. And then last year on Christmas Day, I was not with the kids, but I was with my sister and her family.
Yeah.
I think I would, you know, again, like I don't care that much about Christmas Day. Honestly, I could see myself taking a nap alone on Christmas Day and playing with whatever I got or whatever and being okay with that.
Like, and especially if you'd had the time, if your bucket had been filled with the last 24 hours.
Exactly. So I haven't had to do that. I know that like that's going to happen at some point. And whether I'm alone or not, I will not be with, at some point, I'm sure I will not be with my kids on the holiday. And that's something I'm just kind of going to have to prepare for. I guess one thing I would, that I'm trying to remind myself, because I know this is easier said than done, is that for me, Christmas can be any day I decide it is.
Yeah. Right?
So like Christmas can be the 23rd. Christmas can be the 26th. I certainly remember doing that with my dad growing up, like having Christmas on a different day. I know that can be so tough when you know the rest of the world is celebrating something and you aren't, though.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
But I think so I have something to add here as someone who has observed my husband's family, because his parents, he was 8. And he and his sister were 8 and 4 when their parents divorced. So, you know, most of his growing up was separate Christmases, and he would spend, you know, the big family Christmas in Connecticut. And then at some point they would fly to Chicago. So not only were they divorced, but they were out of state after the first, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, his dad stuck around Connecticut, but then he went back to Chicago where he was from. So Brian and Lindsay would fly to Chicago, kind of on their own. They started flying, you know, unaccompanied minors when they were probably 10 and 6.
Wow.
And Christmas would be whenever it would be. And I think that that has made him so much, he has so much like joy and flexibility in the holidays. Like it's kind of all fun and gift giving is really fun for him, but there's very little attachment to like, it's got to be this day. And that's even come up in our marriage sometimes where I'm like, well, we have to give this on this day, or like, you can't open that yet. It'll happen. Like, even birthdays sometimes, like something will come and I'll say, no, we have to save all the presents for the one day. And he's like, why? Like, it's just the celebration is when it happens. And I do think that came from growing up, and it's always been a positive thing for him. So I think it's probably really hard to transition to that mindset, but it's not a bad mindset to have. Like it's really true. If you think about it, like gift exchanges can happen any day.
That's so true. And I think for me, if I'm faced with that, when I'm faced with that, I think that I'll just have to come up with a way to make that day special of its own right, even though my kids aren't there. So that it doesn't feel like some like I'm just waiting around.
Sure. You would not want to just empty. Like you wouldn't want to not fill it with something else. That would be sad.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And maybe it wouldn't be like super traditional Christmas stuff, or maybe I would come up with my own, like my own Christmas ritual or my own Christmas routines and traditions that are just the stuff that I do when the kids aren't around. I don't know yet. It hasn't been something that I've had to face. But like, I like that idea of sometimes when you're a kid and you are faced with, disruptions and things not always going according to a calendar, I think you do grow up more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've witnessed that. And I think I'm really flexible for that reason a lot of the times. And Christmas Eve is just my like little hang up.
Yeah, no, we all have our things.
We all have our things.
Yeah.
But speaking of, you know, like being alone on the holidays, we've actually got Kristen from Cool Mom Picks and from the podcast Spawned with Kristen and Liz. And she actually switches off holidays every year. So here's her tip for handling those separations.
Hey, it's Kristen from CoolMomPicks.com and the podcast Spawned with Kristen and Liz. I just wanted to talk a little bit about being a divorced parent at the holidays because I know it can be a really challenging time. One of the things that I learned is to make sure I have things planned on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve if I know I'm not going to be with my kids. I alternate every other year with my ex, and the first year I decided to go away because I just couldn't bear being home without my kids on Christmas. It's definitely gotten easier, but it still hits me hard every year. I've just gotten better at planning to be around friends and family. I try to keep myself busy, and I try to plan fun things for us all to do together on my holiday, which when I don't have them for Christmas is New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Anyway, I hope that helps. Thanks so much for listening. The Mom Hour is one of my favorite podcasts, and I hope you'll pop over and check out Spawned with Kristen and Liz.
Yeah, I love that from Kristen, and she has four kids. So like you, yeah. It's a big difference. Like it's a full house or an empty house.
Or an empty house, yes.
I thought that was really insightful. Okay, so we also got a really good question from Sage on Instagram that I'm hoping you can speak to, Megan. And the basic idea is that your ex has existing relationships with the entire extended family unit, and you may have relationships with your in-laws. So we have all these in-law relationships that are now, are they no longer relationships?
Yeah.
Or like, how does this play out?
Yeah, this is tough. Like I know for myself, like we were married so long and I felt like I had a good relationship with my now ex-in-laws, but John was really close with my family. Mm-hmm. Like I really felt like my siblings became like his siblings. And we spent a lot of time all together. So in some ways, I think just making room for those relationships to continue. Like, I don't feel like I really had to do much besides make it clear that, like, that was fine with me for him to continue to have relationships with those people.
Yeah.
Now, it's easy for him to still continue to see my brother. And my brother lives in the same town as us. The kids go to the same schools. Like, that's easy. But, like, what about the other ones?
And
I've tried to facilitate it in small ways when I can, but still put boundaries around it.
Yeah.
So, like, a few ways I've done that. I still refer to Uncle John when I'm around nieces and nephews. I still, you know, if there's a story that includes Uncle John, I don't cut him out of it. I don't not refer to him as Uncle John anymore. Everyone, he's still their uncle. I have made sure certain family events kind of that there's an open invitation extended to him. And there's often a lot of like kind of behind the scenes shuffling and people texting me madly to make sure it's okay with me. And I usually make it pretty clear when it's like, this is invite John to this. Like, that's cool. But then I draw a boundary around it. Like, for example, we just did Thanksgiving. He was at my sister's house on Thanksgiving Day with me. I booked myself a hotel room because I thought I might want to escape. And I got there a little bit later than I would have otherwise because I just didn't know how I would feel about that.
Yeah.
But it was like a big family event. There were people who didn't know both of us. It was kind of funny because I think my sister's boyfriend's parents got really confused and thought we were like, because we walked in kind of around the same time with a bunch of kids who are both of our kids, but it's just not a big deal. I guess we just try not to make it a big deal. But I'd also like to be able to like eventually like invite my own boyfriend to family events without feeling uncomfortable. So like, or, and I also want to enjoy some family time with my siblings, not around my ex. Cause it, there can start to feel, it can start to feel like this bizarro world version of how things used to be.
Sure.
Like,
because it's the same people under the same roof. Only
same
things
people,
are totally
same
different.
Roof, same traditions, same routines. Everyone's having the same conversations. We're all laughing about the same stuff, but like we're not together anymore.
Yeah.
So it can start to feel a, like a little much.
Yeah.
I found myself actually getting really tired. Like just, I was exhausted and ready to go to bed at like 9, which is pretty unusual for me on a holiday with all my family. But because I had also planned to spend the entire next day and night there and got to bring my guy to that, like I was okay with that. I was like, it's all right. I'll go spend a couple of hours. I'm gonna bail. And he gets what he needs and I get what I need. And it was fine. It's it's a little bit of a taking one for the team kind of a thing. And we've done it like Isaac's graduation last year, same thing. Like there was a lot of extended family and we were all under one roof. And like after like 3 hours I was done. And it's not because I don't get along with John. It's just the whole thing becomes just a little much.
I can totally see that.
But it's fine and it's worth it. And I think it's good for the kids to see that you can do that. So that's how we've handled that. But that is so personal. Like I guess within whatever limitations you have and whatever your relationship is with either your ex and his family, or between you and your ex, or between your ex and your family. Mm-hmm. Like, just facilitate when you can, make room, but yeah, also take care of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really, really good advice. You summed it up really well. It was occurring to me that the part of this that we haven't really covered, and I'd love to hear from listeners, and maybe in the future, there's even a follow-up episode. But if you are a mom of little kids navigating your own divorced parents as grandparents, do you know what I mean? Mm. So like, you're the mom, yeah, you're maybe married, but you have now divorced parents, maybe on both sides. Your kids now have double the grandparents. Yes. And my kids have had this a little, although they only had one step. Only Brian's dad remarried, and then his dad passed away. So they have two grandmas on that side of one. They have three total grandmothers. And it's never really caused any stress on our side. But if everybody's living in the same town, you've got to choose where to go to Christmas dinner, who to go to church with. Like, that can be so much pressure for you now as the mom deciding. And we never stop being kids, right? Like, we never stop being our parents' kids. So that's like a whole other layer that I know applies to a lot of our listeners. And I think, you know, what's so funny, Megan, is I think the advice is the same. You just said it. You said, be flexible, but create boundaries and something else. Leave so space. I said, good.
Yeah. I said to make room for it.
Yes.
And facilitate how you can, but put boundaries around
it. And I think that applies to so many things, but we always...
Also, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we always love hearing people's different stories. And I think for a lot of people, this is going to bring up stuff, like either from their own growing up or how they hope to raise their families. But we love hearing from you guys.
And in a situation I have no experience with yet, or and maybe never will, is combining sets of kids on the holidays, or even bringing a step parent into that. Who knows? Like, maybe that'll be a future episode. But would also love to hear from listeners about that. Like, you know, if you've got little kids and then you marry someone who has little kids, that's a lot of years you're going to be combining families who might be coming and going at different times too.
Exactly. Like,
so you might have, like, the arrangement with your ex might be that you've got them this year, but like your new husband has them, his kids next year or whatever it is. So like, I'm really curious practically how people handle that stuff.
Yeah. Yep. No, there's definitely a lot more here. So someday future. Well, Megan, thank you for being so open and talking so much.
Of course.
I feel like I kind of got to sit back for this one, but I think it was really helpful. Let's see. If we link to anything, we will, because we talked about a couple of past episodes, and we'll of course link up Spawned with Kristen and Liz and thank them for their contributions.
Thanks, guys.
All of that will be at themomhour.com. Just look for our holiday specials. This was number 3 this year in our holiday bonus episodes, and we will be back with you guys on Tuesday.